Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message from Josh Tanner.
Today we're going to talk about a culture of honor. We're still in Thessalonians and we're getting close to the finish line here in Thessalonians. And so if you're afraid that I'm going to talk more about end times, nope, done, finished it. We wrapped it up. If you want to know everything there is to know about the end times, just listen to the last three messages. We covered everything. Again, that's called sarcasm, if you didn't know. We definitely did not cover everything, but we gave you the highlights. Okay, there's some really good stuff in there. If you didn't hear Pastor Zach's message on the relationship between Ishmael and Isaac and the family of God, you should get that. It's shareable. You should get it in the app and listen to it. But all right, we're going to move on here and Thessalonians goes on to talk about some very practical things here as we're landing the plane. When Paul finishes letters, a lot of times he just starts peppering you with all these really important ways to live and be as a healthy church and Christian. So that's what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these topical pieces here. We're going to really focus on this part here that talks about honor. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. You ready? Woo! Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. All right. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peaceably with each other. Okay, in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says it this way. Now, also we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Hey, that's a little bit deeper. The Amplified kind of breaks out some of the deeper meaning in the Greek. And verse 13, and hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work, be at peace among yourselves. That's kind of a mouthful. That's a lot, isn't it? So one of the things I want us to emphasize here is we're going to talk about honor. And honor toward, you can hit that slide, honor toward people in the Greek has these different meanings. And maybe you don't have that one. It's okay. It's time. The word in Greek kind of is this word time or temio or itimus or these different variations of this word. And maybe you know Greek and you'd pronounce it right, so I'm not going to. If you know me, then pronouncing Greek right is one of my skills to not do. I like to murder it. It's one of my goals in life. So, but anyway, this word is different variations of this word to honor in the Greek. And they're slight variations, and they really come across like this, is to honor, to show respect, to give recognition, to value highly at a cost. Okay? So to value others highly at a cost. And that is what honor looks like. Honor actually has a cost to it. And there's connections between honoring people with a cost, not only financially, but from our own selves giving towards them. All right, so we look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 29. We see one of these places where we see this word, intimus, whatever. Okay, so then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. What's happening in my brain today? I can get it. Don't worry. I usually speed up the more I read it. It happens. I get better as I go. All right. So this word honor is about highly valued and precious. Okay. So this honor he receives is not an honor of worship, okay, but it's an honor of sacrifice and value because of what this leader has done. So this type of honor in leadership is really godly and really important in the body of Christ. Here's another one, 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, And this is this word temio, which is value, respect, nobility, or specialness, or cost, and even connected to money. So like there is a value monetarily towards these individuals. It goes on to unpack that around this scripture. But these are some of the ways that God has called us to honor one another and honor leaders among us. So here's Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So this one kind of emphasizes in the value portion of honor that I'm going to value other people before myself, or consider other people before myself. Honor says, I see you before I see me. I am concerned more about your needs before my needs. That's what honor looks like in this context. Being devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Okay. Honor sounds like it's challenging. Right? It is not an easy thing. Honor has a cost. We're giving up something to honor. And then we see here in Ephesians 6, and this is every parent's favorite verse in the entire Bible. That and Deuteronomy 5:16. So Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Not just completely. You see, there's a boundary there. In the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Honor comes with a reward. Honor comes with a blessing. Especially the first place we're all called to learn how to honor is with our parents. And this word honor is about showing respect and giving recognition. So some of these words emphasize a little more on, I'm going to value you before me. And other ones are about, hey, because of your position, I'm going to show you respect. And especially in the Lord. Obeying is an action of honor. Yay. You're so excited about this. I can feel it in the room. You're like, oh, what? Obeying is an action of honor. When we obey, kids, when we obey our parents in the Lord, when we do this, it actually communicates respect. When we disobey, guess what it communicates? Disrespect. We're all getting a really good grade today. Let's go. When you and I decide we want the blessing of God more than our own will, this is when we begin to move in tremendous favor in the kingdom. So young people, when you decide you want the favor of God over your own will and desire to get what you want. Like I told my kids, I'm like, hey, when Snowmageddon happened like a couple weeks ago, right? I pulled like a super old man dad trick. I did this twice. I did this two times this summer, okay? So one was during Snowmageddon. I'm like, I want you guys to shovel the deck. They're like, what do you need to shovel the deck for? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I want to shovel. I really don't have a super good idea, except that I want it clear. Because I like it that way. And so I couldn't really, I go, my best answer was because. It felt so old. Like I was like, and then before that, I was like, hey boys, I need you to move the wood pile. And they go, again? That's right, again. Why? Because I want it in another spot now. That's a good old guy thing to do to for your kids, right? And I don't know, but I think boys need to move logs. If you don't move logs and shovel snow, you don't become men. Boys to men coming back again, right? Okay, so I'm really giving them a gift. I'm teaching them a skill set. I'm investing into them, character, by moving logs. And so I was like, at least I'm not asking you to chop them. I just said move them for like the fourth time because I want them in just a better spot, you know? Okay. Anyway, the obedience, not knowing why or it makes sense to you, but when my boys or my girls, whatever, they decide, yeah, Dad, we're just going to do that because we want to obey and they want the reward more than the thing they can get for themselves at that time. That's when you move into kingdom favor. And when you young people, when you get this, that you want the favor of God, when you value the favor of God above your time or the thing you could get or what you could have for yourself, that's when you unlock the reward that is found in honor. And church people, when we get this, we're not talking about blind obedience. It's in the Lord. If anyone is telling you, you got to honor me by sinning, and any spiritual leader or your parents are telling you to sin, that's not obedience in the Lord. That's where you hold the line and you say, no, listen, I'm not going to sin against you or anybody else by doing the thing you're asking me to do. But when people are asking, when parents are asking you to do things that are in the Lord, right? Which is like clean the house. That's in the Lord. Did you know that? That's in the Lord. Shovel the deck, move the wood. These are things in the Lord, okay? These are about contributing to your family's cause and to your home and to making your life better. The church works the same way, okay? When spiritual leaders are called to lead and mobilize and move the church and we're saying, hey, we're going to do this in the Lord, that's when we go, yes, sir. We're gonna honor through obedience, not only the Lord, but we're gonna honor obedience through the respect of leaders whom we are entrusting. And this is what Thessalonians is talking about right now, is that there are many ways to honor, and it's not, especially not, giving people titles. One of the primary ways we like to honor people in our churches and in America is through titles. And the Bible actually, Jesus actually warns against the emphasis of titles. He's like, hey, don't let people call you rabbi and teacher and all these things. And don't try to get yourself out in front of everybody where people see your sacrifice and they see the way that you're praying and you have the long tassels so everybody can see how holy you are and they watch you give your money and your things to the poor. Like, that's not actual leadership or sacrifice or the things that are to be honored, is the position or the title of the position. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to do that. It's about the heart and spirit behind what we're doing, okay? And so we have to be aware that the title is not the thing we're honoring. It's actually the person. And this is what we're going to unpack just a little bit as we go, okay? You're like, oh, well, that sounds different. Yeah, it does sound different. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I was at a church one time, and I was a senior pastor for probably about, I don't know, 8-10 years or something like that. And, you know, I don't go around like trying to make everybody think I'm a senior pastor. So I'm at this other church and we're at this kind of banquet thing and I'm sitting there and Joni and I are there and we're hanging out and we're having lunch or whatever. And some guy from that church's staff comes by and he's all like, hey, I'm Pastor so-and-so. And I go, hey, so-and-so, great to see you. And he goes, no, 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 Pastor so-and-so. I'm like, oh, hey, Pastor so-and-so. I didn't know your first name was Pastor. That's so funny. My first name's Pastor too. But they call me lead pastor. And what was yours? Oh, you're associate pastor. Oh, I see. I didn't say that. I did think it. Okay, but the guy like strokes me hard. Like he strokes me hard. Like I'm like, geez, this guy, he's really into his title, you know? And I thought, ugh. Something in the wind shifts. Something in the wind from the Lord shifts when our heart is about our title and not our service. In fact, the Bible says some things about this. It says, God resists the proud. What else does it say? He gives grace to the humble, but what else does he do to the proud? He tears them down? That's not fun. He resists them. He works against them. He humbles or humiliates the proud. Mm. You know, James said it like this. He was like, Don't sit yourself at the highest seat in the table. When you show up, go to the lowest seat and let the person who shows up there says, oh, wait, you're too low here. I want to move you into a place of honor. So one of the principles around honor is that we don't take it. Right? We don't take honor. Honor is a gift. Honor is a gift that we're all called to give. And it's okay to receive honor, but it has to be a gift. We don't go take it, and you cannot demand honor from people. You gotta honor me. You gotta respect me. Now, when we're training our children, we need to train them how to honor. One of the best ways to train people how to honor, do you know what it is? It's to do what Jesus said to do. You're like, what did he say to do? He said so many things. One of the last things that Jesus said to do, he did in one of the greatest examples that we miss and don't do all the time. And it was in the example of washing the feet of his disciples. And he said, if you won't let me wash your feet, you can't even be a part of me. You can't be a part of the thing I'm doing. If you won't let me serve you, because I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he says, this is leadership. And when they were doing this jostling for position, and they're like, disciples are all fighting with each other, and they're like, I want to be the greatest, and who's going to be the greatest? And they get their mom to go talk to Jesus. Mom, go get Jesus to make us the best. And he's like, you don't even know what you're asking for. Are you really going to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they're like, oh, yeah. And the second the pressure's on, they all run. He goes, surely you are going to drink that cup. And eventually they came back around and they all gave their life as martyrs for Jesus. Every single one except John. Okay? And he's like, that positioning of yourself, he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest among you will be the servant of all, the greatest servant of all. And it looks like this, and he washed their feet. That's what service looks like. And that's what leadership is. Our first step in leadership is service. All leadership in the kingdom is serving others, all of it. There isn't any other kingdom leadership that exists. It doesn't exist. We're called to lead ourselves and through serving others, and we're called to follow. Every single one of us. So I'm the lead pastor at our church. It's just a position we made up. It's not in the Bible. You find it, you email it to me. You show me where lead pastor's in the Bible. It's not in there. It's a position we made up because someone has to be in charge, okay? Okay, great. That makes sense. Someone has to be in charge. Call them whatever you want. It doesn't really matter what you call them. It's about how we function and how we work together. The lead servant is really who I have to be. I'm the chief servant of this church, number one. And if I don't serve, then we're all in trouble. I have to learn how to serve through lead through serving, and I have to follow. That's leadership. That's actually honor. So honor looks the same way to all of us. Is that when we learn how to lead through service and then we honor others for their leading through service, the whole kingdom of God gets lit on fire. It actually, the church comes on fire with the presence of God, and the empowerment of all the gifts begin to work together because we're serving and honoring one another with our service. Because when I serve you, I'm saying you are valuable. This is this Greek word. I respect you because you are valuable. You're important. The Lighthouse groups went out this Saturday. A lot of you guys were there to go serve the poor in our city. That is called honor. That's real respect. I see you and you're valuable. When we look at children and we honor them And we come down to their level and we don't just walk past them. We see them as a value, equal value to our needs and self. When we see them that way and we go, I know your name. I'm not just talking to your parent. Like, I see you too. You are of equal value. That is honor. That is sacrificing from my power, my position, and coming down to their level and respecting them and saying, I want to serve you and I want to value you and I want to know your name. What do you need? What do you have? What's in your life that I can help you with? That's what service and that's what honor looks like. And these two things feed each other, church. That you cannot separate one from the other. And with the second we shift from other-focused, serving other-focused, honor-focused, to honor me-focus, the winds shift in a church community. All of a sudden, I'm now managing people instead of leading through service. The kingdom's not supposed to operate like this. In fact, the kingdom doesn't operate like this. When we shift the focus to, hey, your job's to honor me, or you get into a position of leadership so you can be honored, look out. Look out. Worse than just the absence of the power, the power's removed and like a vacuum in a church, in your life, from your parenting. If you're wondering why you're powerless in your parenting, you might not know how to serve your kids. And that's not just they're in charge, okay? We're not talking about them being in charge. You can serve and be in charge. Do you know this? There's a tension here. I am clearly in charge of our church. I am carrying the authority and I'm using it to serve. That doesn't mean I do everything everybody tells me to do. Because my kid tells me, do all these things for me. I'm like, kid, that's not me actually serving you. You obey me, that's honor, okay? There's a tension here. There's a tension here, but I'm gonna take my life and give it as service to wash people's feet. And in that, you're gonna do the same thing. Lead yourself, follow others. Lead yourself, follow others. And in that context, we learn to respect and honor and obey. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God begins to come alive because God's favor is on that kind of service, that kind of humility. God gives grace to the humble. It's a beautiful thing. But there's a boundary here. And this boundary is this other word that's a Greek word that's called doxa, that's also related to this other Hebrew word that you find that's, you know, whatever, K-O-A-B, whatever. Okay, good luck. I'm terrible with word names, okay. But this word is a word that we find that's only given to the Lord in worship. This is a word that's only given to the Lord in worship to God and never to people. Now, with God, you can do all these other versions of honor. They can all be given to the Lord, but this specific one, doxa, is only in worship to God. And this word is kind of a special word, and it means to honor and to be in awe of the awesome light that radiates from God's presence, his glory, his acts of power, to praise, to speak words of excellence, and to assign to his name the highest status. That's pretty good. We find this word in places like 1 Corinthians 6:20, that you were bought at a high price. Therefore, honor or doxa God with your bodies. You find it in Romans 12 as well, where you find to give your life as an act of worship. Ephesians 5:1, to offer your life as a sacrifice, to honor God. When we honor God, doxa him, it is an act of worship. God has called us to honor him through our worship. Our service to others is worship to God. Our service to him is worship to God. And we never serve, okay, in the context of worship other people. And when we cross this line in leadership, when we're gonna honor leaders, when the Bible clearly says we need to honor the leaders that are laboring among us, because it's a hard job, and you're under a big spiritual attack when you're in a spiritual leadership position, because the enemy is trying to demobilize the church, to fracture the church in division, and God uses leaders to mobilize people. And so that's why we want to honor the leadership gifts among us, so that we are mobilized and we're effective, right? We're challenged and we can grow up and we can mature. All of these things come through leadership, and you get more when you honor. The more you honor, the more rewards you get. The faster you grow, the healthier you become. All of those things happen when leaders keep their heads screwed on and they stay in service, and people that are in following positions are all leading themselves through service and honor. And then we all start to grow and the whole thing gets mobilized. But the one area we cannot cross is we cannot begin to worship leaders. We cannot doxa leaders. We cannot move them beyond a servant stewardship role, which should be honored at high value. There's a high value to that. But when we worship leaders, folks, or we worship what they did, you know what God does? That's called idolatry. It's one of the Ten Commandments, okay, that still holds today, is you shall have no other gods before me. Don't worship any other gods. Like, you're going to worship God and worship him alone, and don't worship false idols. If we move honor into this doxa category and begin worshiping leaders under the guise of honor, we have now become idolaters. And guess what God does to idols? He kicks them over. Don't do that to me. I don't want to get kicked over. This is a team effort, okay? Like, I'm not going to do it. You don't do it. All right, let's all humble ourselves. Let's stay low to the ground. Let's just serve. And let's be careful how we throw around titles. Listen, if you become my friend, my name's Josh. Sure, I pastor at Unite Church. And I've been in the leadership role here, primary leadership role here, for 15 years. I've been in leadership for 22 years at Unite Church. My wife and I have. We've served in all kinds of different roles. You know how many times I've cleaned bathrooms and swept floors and cleaned up? I mean, this flooded. We were in here sucking all the water out. I mean, roof collapses to, like, hauling boards and trash. And, like, I've changed diapers in this church. Like, listen, this is just service. This is a place to serve, not to be great at services. We don't honor those who are great at services. We honor those who are great at service, serving. And when we learn to value the things God values, we begin to esteem very highly those among us who are really the greatest servants. And that's what Jesus said, is that you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. Those who are the seemingly the least among you are going to be the greatest in heaven. And those that seem to be the greatest here on earth, they're going to be kind of like the least. I think some of those who are great at services, I'm not trying to devalue those, they might not have really mastered serving, which is the first step in leadership. And without serving the Lord, there is no reward. When it's about, and he said this about the priests and those who are doing it for their own adornment, and they go down and they pray in front of people and they make this big spectacle. He goes, listen, those guys got their reward. That was it. People praise them on earth. They go to heaven, goose egg. He's all like, they're like, Lord, what do you have for me? He goes like, dude, you got it. All back on earth. What do we have here? You're like, what you came in on, man? Nothing. Love you. Thumbs up. You're like, dude, I got a thumbs up. Like, that's pretty good though. You still got in. That's going to be great. I'm looking for more. There, not here. And that's one of the mindsets that we need to have, is that we have to learn how to keep our honor of worship to God only and not start worshiping leaders. But one of the things that happens is that our fear that leaders are going to get off track and that they're going to start wanting to be worshiped or misuse their leadership or move from service to a management position or I'm important position and use their leadership and authority to create problems in the body of Christ. Anybody ever been around, seen leaders do that, right? Okay, we've seen that happen. But the problem is that we try to create balance. And this is a concept that actually is not a kingdom concept. Balance is not actually a kingdom concept. Kingdom is all in. Kingdom is death. In death, you have life. So like you die to yourself, you're all in, you have Jesus. You die to yourself, you're all in, you give service. You die to yourself, you're all in, you give worship. And you die to yourself, you give all in. Instead of your presence, you desire his presence. His power comes upon you when you worship and you give up your life and you honor him, then he blesses you, which is a form of honoring. Actually, he honors you back, which is kind of cool. But the kingdom is not balance, it's all in. And these thoughts of like, we need to make sure we balance grace with law. This isn't even a thing, y'all. This is broken theology. There's no balance between grace and law. Grace is the power of God, unmerited favor. The law is perfect righteousness. Grace empowers perfect righteousness. There's no balance. They just exist. And one empowers the other. Grace is not the ability to sin. Mercy covers sin. Grace empowers righteousness. Grace gives you the ability to live according to the law. You see what I'm saying? But people teach this balance stuff and they're like, work-life balance. Like, that's not in the kingdom. You don't get work-life balance. You'll say that to someone who's building church in Iran right now. Make sure you get your work-life balance. They're like, I'm just trying to not lose my head today. And I'm trying to build the kingdom at the same time. So they're like, whoosh, whoosh. You know what I'm saying? That's not how the kingdom is designed. Okay, so when we decide we're going to honor, it's based on a command, all right? It's not based on the condition. Are you with me? The command that God says, honor leaders, honor one another in the Lord. This is right. Honor your parents. All of these things are a command, not a condition of the leader's quality. Yeah. If the leaders have to be of great condition based on my perception, we will never honor anyone because all leaders fail. You're looking at a failure right here, okay? So good luck honoring me if I have to be perfect. I haven't been. It's a bummer. I don't like it as much as probably you do, but it's the truth. Being perfect is not a prerequisite for honor. And it is not a prerequisite to honor your children because they're perfect, to honor your parents because they're perfect, to honor leaders, or how about our government officials, which the Bible tells us, honor the government officials. This is where I have to repent all the time. My little sarcastic things I do and say. But honoring is not based on whether or not a leader has earned your honor or was worthy of your honor. It's a kingdom principle and command. No leader has ever been found faithful without being first at fault. Sorry. You got to fail to be faithful. You just do. You're going to try real hard, and then you're going to make a mistake, and then this is like the old adage, just like not how many times you get knocked down, but it's how many times you get back up. That's faithfulness, right? I think you need to hear a good Texan to encourage you to get back up, get back on that horse, boy. That's faithfulness. It's like, even though I fail, I'm not giving up. Even though things around me have failed, people around me have failed, I'm not giving up on them. I'm not giving up on forgiveness. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on love. I'm going to be found faithful. And being found faithful is sticking it out even through failures, even through difficulties. But part of failure is what qualifies leaders. You find a Bible leader who didn't fail. Write me a dissertation on it. It's going to be like no letters. Okay, you're not going to find one besides Jesus, okay? Jesus is the only one who didn't fail. He doesn't count. He's the example, right? And he died for all of us who failed and who came up short. So honor is a command, not a condition of excellent leadership. We're commanded to honor everyone, leaders, men, women, mothers, father, government officials. Even our enemies deserve our honor and respect. This is the kingdom way. Faithfulness to serve and steward God's house with God's people and those who are within positions in God's kingdom. So we're called to faithfulness and stewardship. This is what real leadership looks like. And we're called to be faithful with God's house and those that he's positioned within his house. That's faithfulness and leadership. And that is worthy, the Bible says, not just of honor, but of double honor. Those who take in leadership positions to serve God's house is worthy of double. I don't know what normal honor is or what double honor is, but it just means more. Okay? But faithfulness in God's house really looks like faithfulness to listen, faithful to believe, faithful to obey. We're not talking about being perfect, but faithful to repent when we make mistakes, faithful to humble oneself, to make it right with other people, faithful to be at peace with all men, faithful to serve, sacrifice, and surrender, faithful to honor others and to empower others to contribute rather than to compete with them for position. So in the kingdom, leadership and honoring in leadership is never about competing for spots. When we start to compete for position so that we can be honored, we've shifted from my desire to serve and to serve others and give my service as worship to God to I need people to serve me and I want people to doxa or worship me. Big shift. Dangerous shift. And it's what corrupts many churches. Not cool. Who is the greatest? We've got to die to who's the greatest. And this concept of trying to be the greatest in the kingdom, John and James are after this. And like I told you, they're sending their mom even after Jesus to try to figure it out. This is not the position that God wants in the kingdom, is for us to fight for position. No, the position we want is to be as low to the ground as we can and wash people's feet. That's our position in the kingdom. No matter what title you happen to have or spot you're in or how much authority you have or what responsibilities you have, it's always centered and focused around giving and serving rather than taking and trying to be something. Okay. We don't want to be in a movement that has a loss of favor, church. Don't sign me up for it. We want to follow Jesus' example in this. Is that Jesus said he didn't come to serve, right? Or to be served, he came to serve. Okay, one of the things I want us to shift in, and that I think God wants us to shift in this thought, is around this investing rather than balancing. So like I said a minute ago, is that God is not calling us to try to balance people out. Rather, he's calling us to invest in people. And the Bible talks about investment in words like sowing. And it also is all over when it talks about the gifts in the body of Christ. It talks about building others up. So encouraging others, building others up, helping them, strengthening them, being a place where someone slips and falls and you help them back up and keep others from falling. Like these are the things that we do when we're in service to one another, rather than trying to balance them out and keep them from the thing we're becoming, the thing we're afraid of, or the way we were hurt before. It's like, I'm gonna dishonor you because I wanna make sure you don't get proud and start to mistreat other people. That's a balancing thought. That's not a kingdom thought. So I justify my dishonor and disrespect so that I can keep you and others safe. That's not an all-in thought. That's not a kingdom thought. That's a broken thought. That actually produces death and dishonor. So I'll feel this sometimes from people where, you know, they're undermining me just because I'm like, oh, that's not cool. It doesn't feel good. You know, it's the opposite of the person who wants to be in power and position and they need you to use their title. Like, oh, hold on. I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm like, ooh, Dr. So-and-so. Ooh, I like you. Right? I mean, you're a doctor. That's awesome. When I come in, I honor those people and say their titles because it's in my heart to honor them and I want the gift that they have. Like, I need a doctor sometimes, you know? But if we're cooking at the grill, you're not Dr. So-and-so. You're going to be John or whatever your name is. Are you right? And I don't want you to call me whatever the latest degree is I had or whatever the last thing people laid hands on me and called. Like, I just kind of want to be Josh. But we need to know what our job is and what our job isn't. Things that are not our job is to dishonor, to balance out someone's pride or our fear of their abuse, or maybe they are abusing their power. That's not our job. Our correct response is always to honor, otherwise we lose our blessing. Do you know that when we gossip and slander people, that we're dishonoring? If you're talking bad about leaders in our church, you're dishonoring. Uh-oh. Sorry. It just is the truth. If you're complaining about the things they do or don't do to other people, you're dishonoring. And you're building a culture of dishonor. The favor of God has left you. Listen, the favor of God has left you. If you're gossiping and slandering, God's favor is off of you. For that moment, in that way, you have lost the blessing and the reward that comes from honor. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And guess what? You lose respect. This is one of the reasons, as consequences, of all the people around you and their trust, because they're like, if they'll say it that about that person, they'll say it about me. Okay. And before anybody starts to get like the church sweats, everybody's done this. Like, there isn't one person in here, me included, that hasn't done this. But what are you going to do to change it? And what are you going to do to shift so you don't participate in this anymore and we get the favor of God? Because I want God's favor and blessing, right? And I've had to go back and repent. I went back to my former pastor, Pastor Rick and Dolores, and repent to them because I would complain about them. I've repented to other people in this room because they're like, you know, you just aren't going to be perfect all the time. But you know what? I want the favor of God. I don't want to just pretend like I'm right. I'd rather have his blessing and favor. And that comes when we actually let go of God's job and we just do our job. We let him be God. And we do our part by honoring and lifting and serving and building one another up. And we don't tear down the body. If you're tearing down the body through complaining and arguing and being kind of difficult, sorry. God's favor is not on you, y'all. It's just the kingdom principle. The people around you don't have to be perfect. The conditions don't have to be perfect for you to honor. It's just a command. So when do I honor? The answer is now. When do I honor is now. I honor now. That's the time to do it. Now is when. Now is when. It's always the right answer. When do I make it right? Now is when. Now is when I make it right. When do I start shifting my behavior? Now is when. Now is when I start doing that. Because I want the favor of God. And if you want actually to be effective and have real influence, you can never get there if you don't learn to serve. And you'll never be promoted if you don't learn to honor. In your family, you'll never be trusted. And in the church family, you'll never be trusted. If you're complaining and arguing and gossiping and slandering, guess what? You're not going to get promoted. People are not going to trust you. And God's favor is not going to be on you. So like, that's a great way to figure out, like, am I honoring or not? Well, listen, you have to be able to stand in front of like powerful people like Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca and say, you're amazing. Zach and Janice, you guys are amazing. I could never do what you do. And how awesome is it that we get a partner together? And who cares who likes who better? Like, I'm telling you, like, I love it that some of you love to hear Zach preach better than me. I love that. I sit at church and I'm eating amazing food. Zach is one of the best teachers I've ever heard in my life. And he teaches at Unite Church. He's one of the best worship leaders I've ever heard. Like, what the heck? You know what? He can hardly run a screwdriver, but he is so good.
I know, that's not true. He can't.
See, that's a good example. You don't have to dishonor him because he's awesome and other things. Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca are both Harvard grads that are lawyers. These are smart people. When they read the Greek words, they probably read them right. That's cool. That's cool with me. Is it okay with you? Do you just want God's best? If you don't want God's best, like, and you're fighting for competition, rather than just comfortable with who God made you, you're going to compete with people around you. You're not going to be okay being next to other great people. And then we all suffer because basically, I'm only going to be okay. If I'm only okay being around people, this is an honor thing. If I can't honor those around me, then I'm not okay with being around people that are of greater gift than me. And so what happens is downhill from me, it's lesser gift. Then lesser gift. So we have the law of diminishing returns that goes throughout the whole organization, rather than if we all just imagine we're lights in the kingdom. So we were talking about being a lighthouse and that everybody is a light. You're a light that cannot be hidden, right? A city on a hill. You're a light. So if we're all imagine ourselves as light bulbs, right? And we're all shining. And if everybody is shining, can there ever be a shadow? That was good timing. We planned that. It took us 3 or 4 tries. That was great, Ryan. So good. Can there ever be a shadow? Listen, when you're a light and you're a light bulb, no one can ever cast a shadow on you. You need to love what the potter made. God made you and he's the potter and you're the clay and he shaped you into something and it's a light bulb, okay? It's a type of light bulb and you're shining for the Lord. And it just because someone else God designed to shine brighter than you, there's no competition in the kingdom. I just want to shine as bright as he made me to shine. I want to keep my light bulb as clean as I can keep it so that it is as pure as it can be, so that it can do the best thing that God made it to be. And Lord, just put me in the right spot. I just want to be in that spot and just turn me on. Let me shine. And if I get to be next to other really awesome light bulbs, that's cool. How fun is that? But that's what honor looks like. And it comes from your heart that you see that value in others and your goal is just to make them shine brighter. How do I help keep the people around me shining brighter and brighter and brighter? Because the thing we don't need is a bunch of people throwing blankets on our bulbs to try to, like, I don't want them to see your light bulb so that they see mine. Or I'm afraid if they see your light bulb, then they're gonna get hurt. Guys, get over it. Everybody's getting hurt. Y'all are gonna get hurt. It's coming. It's already happened. Life is not easy. Church is not easy. What we have to do is learn how to get over it, get through it, stay together, and honor one another despite all of our difficulties and failures. Romans 13. Well, we'll read 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. When we honor, this is what honor looks like, is it looks like love. We're working hard together. We're serving hard together. We're encouraging and building one another up. And we're taking time to care about people who are weak and be patient with everyone. The goals that we have in the kingdom are not more important than the people we're building with to get there. There's no collateral damage that's allowed in the body of Christ. It's not like, well, that just happened just because we had to get to the goal. That's not the way God made it to be. We be slow, we're patient with everybody who's weak. We can't just get to the goal because we just want to get there and I'm worried about what people think of me and will I be honored? Look, I'm not trying to get honored by you. I want to get honored by Jesus. And that's what Proverbs says, is that we want to be honored by him alone. Verse 15 says, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and all people. This is a pretty good principle. This is what honor looks like too, is we're not paying back evil for evil. We're always trying to do good to each other and to all people. Is it good? Lord, am I really honoring with my behavior? Am I really serving with my behavior? Am I really being good to those around me? And Romans 13:8 says this, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be. I love it. They're summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God has called us to an empowering kind of love. And one of the forms and expressions of love is a culture of honor. And that honor, when it's expressed through service, we reap a huge reward. Amen? Will you stand with me, church? And let's pray. Father, we love you today. We honor you today. Jesus, your name is above every name. We're desperate for you today. God, will you move in our lives? Will you shift our life right now? So some of you right here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And the Bible says simply that we've all come up short. Everybody has fallen short. Everybody has sinned and fallen up short. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if we surrender our life to him through believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, we'll be saved. If that's you and you want to give your life today to Jesus, I'm encouraging you to simply pray and ask him into your life. Amen. And for everybody else here, let's make a shift. I want to pray over us that we make a shift about honor. Yeah? We shift in service, we shift in honor, we shift our hearts, and we move our goals off of self-focused to God-focused, our worship from us to him, our acts of desire to be important, to our desire to just serve. Amen?
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.